It's not a cartoon. It's anime. Had to get the extra power up. Welcome to another episode of Anime Shun.
You never know when you get that second wave. It was like an aftershock.
Yeah.
I was about to say something, and you. When you come back and you don't even, and she thinks it's over.
Yeah,
it's not over.
It's double not up. Over. I'm your host, Keenan Baker. We got my host, Rob.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
Ice is in the building again.
Yes.
And bitch ass Brennan is probably on a plane somewhere.
He's on that extended Thanksgiving break.
Yeah, extended. All right, man. We're continuing with Kill a Kill, man. Hope y'all been following along, listening along, watching along with us, man. We've been having a cool time. It's a dope anime. Weird at moments.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
Weird at moments.
Yeah.
That's a good word. Let's use weird.
We're going with 9 through 16. Mm. Episodes 9 through 16.
Yeah.
What we're doing?
Yeah. 9 through 16.
So this week we're talking about episodes 9 through 16. Yeah, man. Rob, dropping on us, bro.
Yeah. So we did finish off last time. You know, they had just kind of finished off the beginning of what they were calling the naturals election.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Play on words there.
Yeah.
But as they came to it, basically it was just the Elite Four left, as we all knew it was going to be anyway.
Right.
In Ryoko. So basically they're all looking to face off now to have this ultimate tournament and to try to Ryoko can try and get at Satsuki. And so Satsuki says, you know, hey, I ranked everybody based on how many other students you took out.
Yep.
And so in that order, Iragamaguri is the first one. And then after that, it was Tech boy got the second highest. Second lowest.
Trash can is what I call his ass.
Trash can. I like it. Best genius.
Yeah.
And then Nonon, the non-athletic supervisor, was third. And then Brennan's guy, who he's not here to defend today.
Yeah. Too bad.
He the blind guy, Daredevil. He got the most. To his credit, he did.
Murdoch.
Murdoch did get rid of the most students, but well, he doesn't really get much of a feature later. So Iragamaguri is the first one up, and he's just like, all right, like, that's cool. Like, you know, I wasn't even really on campus for most of this time, so I'm not worried about having these low numbers.
Like, yeah, he was just like, whoever, I already fucked up whoever fucked with me.
Yeah.
That was his thing. I ain't here to beat people up, but.
Yeah. This is my job. This is what I'm doing. And that's this whole thing. He's got like this iron will. He's just like, yeah. I'm just going to, he's got an idea in his head. He's going to stick to it.
Mm.
So we kind of got a glimpse of what his Goku uniform could do in the last stretch of episodes.
Yeah.
We kind of got the idea that he was into some like weird, you know,
S&M type shit. Let me say this up front,
because
This is what made me upset about the beginning of this. The fact that he was like, yo, she was like, let's scrap, and he was like, 1 p.m. You got to understand.
That's true.
You have to understand how big that is, because in school, that happened a lot. Like, I don't know about y'all. I know this is a question up front at the beginning, but once I'm ready to go, I'm ready to go. Like, if our anger is getting to a certain point, and I'm ready to fight you, Rob, I'm ready to fight you right now.
Right.
Yeah.
If somebody goes, nah, 3 p.m., McDonald's. So that's how, I don't know if we're your high school. McDonald's was our fighting spot at my high school out here. I went to two different high schools, McDonald's, and there was another place called Mighty Mouth. Those were the two spots that people fought at, right? At that point, now I'm doubting myself.
Yeah.
I wanted to scrap with you during second period. You talking about after school? I gotta go through four more periods now. I'm like, yo, this he might.
And you got to keep that same energy.
Yeah, that same level of anger.
Like after you eat lunch, nigga. I just had tater tots and pizza. Yeah, exactly.
And for me, like I'll start thinking and I'll just be like, you know, it's not that big a deal.
Exactly.
I'll calm down.
By the time sixth period comes, I'm not even that upset anymore.
Like, and you gotta ride depending on where it's at, because our fights would always happen at people's stops, like. So if it didn't happen there at school, you rode the bus, you'd be like, okay, we're going to get off and you're stop.
Yeah.
And then we're going to get to business. So I think for us, it was like, you carried it. If you didn't deal with it there, then you kind of ramping it back up on the bus, and then everybody's hype on the bus, and they know it's about to be a fight, so they're like talking shit the whole time, and then the other person's at the front of the bus, the other person's at the back of the bus, and they like, bro, when we get off this, don't whoop your ass or talking shit, or, you know, and then everybody, and it's so funny because, like, it can be the first stop, and then everybody gets off on the first stop, and the bus driver's like, what the fuck? Like, no, you kids, you this ain't your stop. And they're like, fuck you, lady. And then, which is funny, too, because, like, some of those stops, like, if you get off on the first stop, your house is, like, 3 miles away. Yeah. So it's like, if you there you for lose? The fight or you lose, that's a line. No Ubers back then, either. Yeah,
now no Ubers, bro. So you got to take the L, and you got to wake that lonely walk. Yeah.
And if it's bleak. Brennan, he's walking back naked.
Yeah, exactly. He wants to walk back butt naked.
Butt ass
flaccid
naked.
Dick.
Flaccid dick. Trash as fuck.
Yeah.
And then got to walk 3 miles.
Yep.
Nah, fam.
No.
I need to fight you right now.
Yeah.
Because I'm at my adrenaline level's right there. I'm ready to go. Because I'm going to lose if I got to wait. If you go, we got to wait 2 hours. Look, fam, I just take the L now then. I'm not going to even fight you then.
I don't even know if I'm going to be that upset later.
Right.
Yeah.
I think the whole calmness of it all, too, I think that always fucks with people. Because I've gotten out of situations where, like, and I think you said this before, is like, I actually got into it with a dude last week, but I was super calm. And I was like, bro, I would really beat you up in front of your girlfriend. And I said that to him, but I said it to her like I just said it to you. Mm-hmm. And he, like, he didn't want no parts of it. And then I was just like, and I was talking to somebody about it, and I was like, and he was like, bro, he did it probably because of how calm you were. Like, he's like, how calm you were probably fucked with him.
Guess
probably.
Like, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And I think I wanted to bring that up later on, but I guess since we're on it now, that is like, being calm, that's just, it shows a different level of confidence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you're angry, you can lose your cool, you can be wild, you can be reckless, and then a lot of times you're going to get tired, too.
Yeah.
You hear people saying that actually fight. They'll feel like they say you got to be calm because when you're angry, you get tired way faster because your adrenaline's flying through the roof.
Yeah, you probably crash at some point. You can't maintain that.
It's like an energy drink.
Yeah.
You definitely crash. But what's funny is that would be like, what if somebody did that to you? Like, you was just sitting there like, man, fuck you, mama. I'm going to whip your ass. It's like, all right, you know what? Let's just go to the back real quick and we can handle this.
Yeah.
That's soft, too.
Yeah, no, man.
I'll be like, bro, what's up?
I'm going to be like.
Even if I'm calm and they talk like that, I'm still like, okay, you just out-calm me.
Right yeah. yeah. I'm going like, to be like, hey, look, man, what's the problem?
But yeah, let's talk. What do you want?
Now I'm start talking to you. I'm going to start asking questions.
Like, what's up? No, well, how's your day, bro?
Yeah, because
I've
seen somebody do that before. Like, they've been like, they were kind of on some calm tip, but they still wanted to fight. So it was like, the dude played calm, and the dude that was pumped up was like, oh, I mean, whatever. No, it's not even that serious. He's like, nah, we going to do this. We going to still do this. Bring your ass to the back. Let's go. And dude was like, man, it's not even that serious anymore. You already took it there.
Yeah.
That is scary.
Yeah.
That
is. That would make my blood run cold.
Yeah.
That would be no good.
That's when you got to attack. You just got
to. Ah, surprise.
You know what? I ain't even going. I ain't even going to just punch him.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
So anyway, they postponed the fight to 1 p.m. for whatever reason. But luckily, everybody's still mad at that point. So Irigamaguri comes out. And I mean, we've seen how this stuff works. He basically absorbs a bunch of hits and then like releases it all at once. His uniform sort of transforms. Basically, he absorbs the hits.
Spank me.
Yeah, he wants the punishment. He wants to be punished, and then he just lashes out with all these like spiked whips and vines and shit.
Yeah.
So, Ryoko, knowing that this is the situation, and he transforms. He puts on his whole like he looks like a mummy with a ball gag or whatever in his mouth. It's fucking weird.
That's what tipped it over for me. It was like, okay, I get the whole BDSM shit, whatever. Yeah. But then you like got the gag. It's like, all right, bro. All right, come on. Like, what do you...
And they still had him talking clearly. Like, we're talking like this. Shit in your mouth.
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever. You know. And then, listen, I'm not trying to kink shame anybody. If that's your thing, that's your thing. But, like, it's just... I don't know. It was a little weird for me. So, she's just like... Ryoko's like, all right, well, I know how this works. I'm just not going to attack. Why would I do that?
Yeah.
And then he's just like, well, I got a plan for that. And basically, all these tentacles come out, and he starts slapping himself.
Yeah.
Basically masturbating in front of this crowd.
Which is so many, like, dick references throughout that.
Oh, my God. Man,
yes. It's ridiculous.
A ton through this fight.
Ridiculous, no pun intended.
So... so he's able to transform basically because, you know, he's able to, you know, hit himself. And Ryoga's like, all right, well, fine. Then, like, if you open yourself up. Let me just attack. Let me just do this because this is happening no matter what. But yeah. He's so armored that she can't even get at his life fibers and, like, damage him at all.
Yeah.
She really can't get into it. So, and in part, as this fight's going on, we get a little bit of a flashback where we see a little bit more. We'd kind of seen a little bit where Ira and Satsuki had met before. Mm. But this kind of gave us where he kind of comes into the fold. And yeah. She's just like, listen, I know you're the president around here. You're like, well, he shows up basically on her. She's out yeah. walking and he's skipping graduation or something like that mm. to basically come up on her to be like, hey, I don't like that you're trying to take over this school. Like, I'm not going to stand for your tyranny or whatever. I'm the council president here, mm. blah, blah, blah. And she's like, all right, fine. Like, we could do this right now. But you know, you're going to lose. And he's like, even if that's fine. Like, I'm never going to kneel to you. Mm. And so they have this fight and, turns out he's actually like got all this armor on like iron, inside, yeah, basically all inside his uniform, and she still manages to beat him.
Beast, she's a beast.
Yeah, she took care of business.
Sasuke, I'm sorry.
Yeah, yes. And she, and he basically, to avoid kneeling to her, like kind of takes her sword scabbard and like props himself up, even though he's beat, and like kind of passes out on top of that, so he doesn't end up kneeling to her.
Right,
and she's like,
she respects.
Yeah, and she's basically like, all right, like. I see you got some skill. You got a lot of will. And actually, this kind of reminded me. I was even thinking this a little bit when we saw the other episode and she brought in Matt Murdock into her into her gang. And it was basically like, it kind of reminded me, you know, the little bit of history that I know about like Genghis Khan. They talk about like how he went everywhere and he would basically, you know, kill and burn and pillage everything. But actually, he actually extended an olive branch a lot and quite a bit. And anytime he would face an opposing army and like there were people on the other side, like soldiers that he was just like, that dude is tough. He'd be like, join me, dude. Like, fuck it. I know we were on opposite sides like a second ago, but shit, you can fight. Like, there's a story about this archer on the other side of the battle that literally shot Genghis Khan's horse out from underneath him. And Genghis Khan came up to him and was just like, you got to fight for me.
Yeah.
And just brought him in.
Think about getting getting recruiting and stuff like that. Like, I got a scholarship for archery back in the day. I'm going to Genghis Khan University.
Yeah.
Like,
how'd you get that, man? I had to shoot his horse out.
Beast mode out here.
Pretty much. But, you know, that's why a lot of people ended up, like, basically fighting to die for him because they were like, well, you know, he recognized my talent and, like, he went out for me, which says a lot about why Iragamaguri really likes her, that she, you know, kind of respected him.
Yeah. Have you guys seen Berserk?
No, I haven't seen it,
but I know I heard great things about it.
Yeah, it's dope. And that's kind of the story of Berserk, too. That's cool. Like, the dude, the main character's name is Guts. He was fighting this other dude, and then he was like, yo, you're dope. Come with me. Everybody else around me is pretty dope. Mm-hmm. We're going to go and, like, take over the world and stuff. So, like, yeah, it was, and which, again, I think there's so many, like synopsis, not synopsis, premises that are synonymous across the board with a lot of these animes and stuff. Yeah. So that's another absolutely. One.
For sure.
Like, you're good, come with me type of thing. Mm.
Yeah, so that's basically how Satsuki's been building her army, or at least her Elite Four. And we get a little bit of taste from everybody on throughout this whole like episode arc about how they all kind of like got into the fold.
Yeah.
Into the fold. So we come back and, you know, Iragamaguri is still attacking Ryoko and she's still trying to figure out exactly what's going on. And he kind of takes out he's yelling at her that he's going to make her into the student that she should be. And he kind of takes out these clamps. It's like some sort of like, I don't know, Easy Bake Oven mold or some shit. And he like clamps her in it and he's trying to literally mold her into something.
Yeah.
And Senketsu is like, hey, I got an idea. It's going to seem kind of weird, but like, let's give it a shot. Mm-hmm. And basically untransforms into the, you know, just the regular sailor uniform outfit.
Yeah.
And that allows her to break out. And at this point, this was the biggest dick reference I saw throughout. Yeah,
the biggest dick reference, the double entendres.
Hey,
Rob, like two, 3 weeks in a row now, just
you've been murdering.
Fire.
He's on just fire.
I'm just gonna keep the streak going.
But before that, he was saying, I think what was really funny too is he was like, you're not dressed like a lady.
Yeah.
This is that you're, you know, your
spanking
clothes are
the hell out of her.
Yeah, your clothes are ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And then he was like, she was like, Ryuki was like, Sasuke is the same way. Like, her suit is fucking worse than mine.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, that's because of her hard work and her body is shaped like that. And she was like, what the fuck? No, get your double standards and bullshit out of here. Seriously. Like, no way.
Yeah.
And then that's when he...
That's when he gives the maximum thrust and the largest pillar comes out.
It's a long mummy dick.
A long mummy dick comes out. Yeah. And Senketsu catches that shit with his teeth. Yeah. Like, he does. He just bites right into that thing.
Oh, God.
And the mummy dick retracts, and Ryoko, everybody is just basically tangled up in his like mummy like wrap regalia or whatever.
Mummy sperm.
Which really has to be a mummy dick, because if somebody bites your shit, you're not retracting them back.
Yeah. It's got a lot of wraps around it. You know, it's a lot of layers.
You're pushing away, like, get the fuck off of me. What is wrong with you?
Even slight spray. Slight you. Come on,
it did come back really fast. She's like, you know, just like... So she's basically inside now at this point. She's been brought in, and Senketsu kind of has, like, an evolution here and like kind of changes and becomes this like blade suit, because she didn't have the scissor blade on her.
Yeah.
Can't use it because it's in a tight space. And he basically turns into this blade outfit and just destroys the entire armored suit from the inside.
Yeah.
Which is pretty dope.
That was pretty cool.
Smart move.
Yeah.
And that's it. Sasuke was like, you messed up. He was like, you freaking idiot.
They knew he messed up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that's basically it for him. Like, after that, his whole suit is all fucked up, and you know, there's breaks in the armor everywhere, and she just finishes him off and steals his life fiber, and that's the end of round one.
Yeah,
and that's what pretty I like quick. About it too, because he goes and sits down with Michael and them, and then he's kind of consistent throughout the rest of those fights, and then you kind of get more of his character development, and you see that he's not that bad of a dude. Like, he's actually pretty.
Yeah, he's just crazy about rules.
Yeah,
you know, like, he's not a bad guy.
He's very, very disciplined.
Yeah, maybe absolutely. That's,
maybe because he's also the oldest too.
Yeah,
that might speak to it. But he sat on the bench naked, didn't he?
Yeah, he just sat there. It was just like, well, shit.
Asshole naked and next to Mako, and she's just sitting there kind of like...
At least an 8-year age difference between the two.
Yeah.
She out here seeing grown dick, and she just don't know how to act.
She doesn't.
And grown mummy dick.
And she's just like, you know, like, what are you doing here? He's like, well, you know, I've lost. Like, I'm a no-star now. Like, I'm sitting here in the no-star section or whatever. So... And actually, I forgot to mention during that whole break where, you know, when they were just like, oh, we're not going to meet up till 1, the homeroom teacher has been kind of watching this whole thing go down.
Yeah.
And he had said to Ryoko, he's just like, listen, I don't think you should do this. Yeah. I don't think you're ready to face all 4 of them in a row.
Well, here's the thing. This shit is not fair.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah.
Like, this is, I got to, because she's battling, after this, she starts to battle everybody back to back to back to back. There's no breaks.
Yeah.
But Satsuki was even like, do you want a break after she finishes off Ira? It's just like, do you want a breather? And Ryoko's just like, no.
Yeah, she wants to keep going. Yeah. And it's just like, she, on her end, I understand, she's going off for drilling and all. So she's like, I'm just one step closer. I knocked this motherfucker out pretty quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, next up is
the tech guy. Yeah. And he steps in. And we get to see his outfit.
Tell you which, something. Out the gate. This nigga's trash, B.
Hey, he's not good.
He's garbage, B.
Hey.
He's just like, everything, his whole thing turns into like a keyboard, and he's just like kind of rubbing on himself and touching on himself and like stretching all these different ways.
Go-Go,
like,
Roboto? Was that what the name of it is?
It was something like, it was like Probe Regalia.
Yeah.
Something. It was called Trash. That's it, man.
And it does look like this weird, like, lame sort of Tron outfit. That's not cool.
Yeah,
like,
it's just, oh.
That shit would have been hard 30 years ago.
Yeah.
They could have, yeah, go ahead, because they could have did him better than this, but.
Yeah, because it's a
maybe
real
they
short
wanted
fight.
To play up to how dorky he was.
Maybe.
Like, if you're going to make somebody dorky, like, you got to go all the way there. And I feel like that outfit was, like, him thinking, you know, when those dorky people, like, they think they're cool as shit.
Yeah.
And then some of them actually pull the shit off. And a lot of people that are quote unquote nerds, like, they're like, how they dress is crazy.
Yeah.
But then some people, they just miss the mark completely. Like, they see one rap video or some video that they think is associated with fashion, and then they just fucking do a terrible, terrible job. And I feel like that was, okay, let me just, I like computers. Let me put the shit all over my body. Like, people go to raves.
Yeah,
how can I combine the two?
Yeah, this guy definitely proved that he's much better in a support capacity than he is actually like on the front lines.
Yeah, he should definitely be the guy in the background. This guy getting all the data.
He's the guy in the chair.
Yeah, no Goku suit. Just chill.
Yeah, hang out.
Yeah,
because I mean, we see the flashback that you know he had hacked into Revic, the Satsuki's company, her mother's company, and was like crashing the stock, all that. Like, you know, as a kid, he's doing this. He's hacking into mainframe.
He was in eighth grade or something like that.
Yeah, he's just in junior high. And like, they track him down because, of course, they got good security and they have guns trained on him. And Satsuki comes forward and is just like, obviously, you got skills.
Yeah.
Like, you know your way around a computer. Again, join me and you can help me like influence some shit in the real world, not just the digital one.
Right.
So he comes aboard, get back to the present. And he's all done up in his suit and
a suit that's quite similar to somebody on the show that said that they would have a suit like that.
Brennan,
I'd be the tech guy. That's who I'd be because technologically I just destroy everyone.
And you know what happened to this dude?
He tried to analyze and it did not work.
He got worked quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, because she's just like, well, fuck, I'll just go fast and try to, like, overload his processors.
I'm going
to
be reckless.
Yep, I'm just going to try to break what, you know, I'll be unpredictable.
Hey, Brennan, you hear that? You're getting your ass whooped the easiest.
And it worked.
And it gets easier. It gets even easier.
Yeah, and because then she's eventually like, all right, because he's like, all right, well, I'm getting my ass kicked right now just by her going fast and acting unpredictably. I'll, you know, use my invisibility suit, which admittedly is a pretty cool power.
Yeah.
You know, invisibility, it not to be knocked, but, you know, she's just like, oh, cool, I'll just increase the size of this one part of my body and just like
cast a shadow, and find you. And it's a wrap.
And that's it. That's literally it. She's about to take him out and he's like, I quit.
Did he?
Yeah, then he quits.
He forfeits.
Yeah.
Come on,
bro. I have zero. I'm taking the L.
Yeah. I'm taking that 3-mile walk with the flashy dick.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
At this point, these are the rules of the world you live in.
This motherfucker had an off button on the back of his head.
Yeah.
He's the only one. He's the only one that didn't take the loss.
He probably knew that going into it, though, too. Like,
I think, well, he kind of said that. He kind of like, I was just doing this to collect data. This wasn't about...
Yeah, exactly.
But it was just
what
like, that's...
What kind
of
punk shit is that?
You could have sat on the sidelines and collected the data.
You could have set out and been like...
You're wasting a Goku suit for somebody that could have at least battled her and drained her. So when you got to the next opponent, it would have did some shit.
That sound like somebody mama when you don't eat all your food. It's like, you better eat all your greens because, you know, people in...
Somewhere,
they're starving.
Ice lost the joke. He was like, "Oh shit!"
I think of a place.
I
any
wanted
place.
To do it, but I was like, "I'm not even going to talk about the countries that I wanted to say." So.
Yeah, I got you.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
I bet you.
So he quits because he's just like, "Listen, I didn't care about winning in the first place. I just wanted this data. And if my suit gets destroyed, my data's gone. So I just quit." Mm. And he sits down, and Irigamagori is like, "Dude, you." What the fuck?
You're such a bitch. What kind of computer whiz doesn't have a backup hard drive to where his suit, like...
Put it in the cloud or something.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Like, this was made in 2014. That existed.
Yeah.
You know?
And then the rules are, you get your ass whooped, you're naked. This sucker didn't want to go... He's not following none of the rules.
No.
You're quitting.
He thinks he's above it.
Yeah, he's in there with a tracksuit. Which, I mean, I respect keeping your clothes on, but, like, this is not the name of the game in this particular anime.
Like,
right.
This is the world that you live in. These are the rules.
Yeah.
These are the rules.
Like,
I mean, a bitch.
So that half an episode.
Yeah.
That didn't even last a whole episode.
6 minutes. Yeah.
So he's gone, and they're like, all right, well, the next one up is Nonon, the My Chemical Romance looking girl. And she steps in, and she's... She's got like a crazy getup.
Yeah.
Like she's got like all these speakers come out of her 3-star Goku uniform, and she's just like basically blasting her away with sound.
Let me tell you something was dope about her.
Yeah, yeah.
All the songs she played, I played in when I was in the band.
Really?
I was in the band.
Oh yeah. Really?
I knew William Tell Overture. I was a beast at William Tell Overture. I played the clarinet.
So check this out.
Okay. Yo.
I told my mom, fourth grade, because that's when the first grade that you can get in the band at my school. I told my mom, I said, she give me a to give me an instrument, I said, give me the drums. Mm-hmm. I was like, she was like, okay, well, everybody's getting instruments right now. What if the drums don't work? And like, if they don't have any more drums. I said, this is my order. So drums, saxophone, trumpet. Mm-hmm. Those are the three. If those three not there, don't give me shit. I just won't do band.
Yeah.
She comes back. with this little ass fucking box. And I'm like, well, okay, it's not the drums, it's not the saxophone. Right. Maybe a trumpet that I got to put together, which would have been weird, but it's a fucking clarinet.
Oh, man.
Hey, first of all, I ain't going to have you shit on the clarinet. All right. That's the first thing. You will be off this podcast.
It was a clarinet.
Shit on the clarinet.
Fourth grade me was hot.
That was when I started band too, fourth grade.
I was hot. You voluntarily chose a clarinet?
My brother chose a saxophone. My brother was a saxophone guy.
Woodwind family.
Yeah. I saw the clarinet. I saw somebody had a clarinet, and it looked dope to me. Like, put together, it looked dope. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, it's kind of like, reminded me of a saxophone, but not the saxophone.
Yeah.
So I got it, and I was like, this shit is dope. Like, it had mad buttons on it. I just, like, I was a beast at the clarinet. Like, I took pride. When I got to middle school, I was like, yo, I'm about to be first chair clarinet out in this bitch. And I was.
That's awesome, man.
It is dope, because I got fourth grade, that was it. I was like, I was a dude, which is funny too, because I did the band stuff, but I would always act like I was playing. Yeah. Like, I never did any of the solos until somebody was like, hey, Ice, you've been doing such a great job, you need to do a solo. And I'm like, oh, shit.
Bro, I don't know how to play this thing.
I had no idea how to play it.
Yeah, we didn't have solos when I was in the band. It was all like groups. So clarinet would have their own little solo as a clarinet group. But I loved it. And then I ended up switching actually to percussion. I went to the drums. Mm. Like, I ended up going to the drums my eighth grade year, because I was just like, fuck it. I think they kind of duped me out of my first chair. So I said, fuck that shit. I'm going to go to the drums. Mine is over here. And I just played percussion. But I loved it because all the songs, it just brought back memories watching her fight.
Yeah.
You know, William Chan. Yeah, I was sitting there. I knew all the shit. I was like, I was sitting there playing the buttons like on my hands. So like, I was like, yo, I already saw this. But when I first seen this, I was just like, I low-key kind of wanted to win.
Yeah.
Because I was like, ah. It just brought back memories.
Yeah, you know, she had that nostalgia factor. I get it. And I mean, for a long part of this fight, she was winning.
She was winning. Only thing I didn't like, she was shooting the worst fucking instrument as missiles.
The recorder? Like a recorder?
Yeah, that was no recorder. Good. The recorder is what you start off with when you're in the fucking first grade.
Yeah, that's the thing that they just kind of give to you and pass them by. Like, oh, you want to get be in band? Okay, try this for the next 3 years.
She could have at least shot like a saxophone or
something. A clarinet would have been a good missile.
I would say, yo, clarinet would have been fire. Clarinet would have blew that whole bitch up.
That shit would have been, because it's pinpointed and it flare out in the back.
It's dumb.
It would have been, yeah.
I don't like how you disrespected the clarinet.
I'm sorry. I was so hurt. Like, that 1 year, that's all they got out of me, bro. And then I always wanted to do drums, but I think I was just so like jaded from band after that. Yeah. And I was just like, bro, that's it.
I get that. I did do drums for a little while, but like I my conductor had found out like something like my mom had like spilled the beans at some like parent teacher conference or something that I played piano for a little while. So he's like, oh, so like, cause if you read music like in drums, like it's all on the same line.
Yeah, yep,
it's just the rhythm. But he's just like, oh, you can like read notes. Yeah. So, you know, why don't we put you on like the xylophone or whatever? And I didn't want to fucking play
what
that shit.
Yeah.
It was because he's just like, oh, like this is percussion. You can do that. We don't have a lot of people in the percussion section that can read. And I didn't want to do that shit at all. So all I did was basically figure out what the last note was in every song and then like wait for the band to finish and just like nail that one. Yeah. I nailed the shit out of that last note. So it sounded like I was, but I was doing the same thing you were doing.
The xylophone was low key dope too. Well, yeah,
I would take a
xylophone over a clarinet.
Because my boy, when he was doing the xylophone, he would always play like the Simpsons theme song or he'd do like the X-Men theme songs on the xylophone because it was kind of like you said with all the little metal things, whatever, like that. And that's what made it. I was like, this shit's kind of dope, because I was like, what is this corny ass shit? I was like, man, this is,
because you always associate xylophones with like kids. And they're
I wanted
like,
to play drum set. That's why I got into drums. Like, I wanted to like get on the kit. Like, I didn't want to be doing the xylophone thing. I've seen some YouTube videos now. People do some cool shit on the xylophone, wasn't for sixth grade me.
And I was like in a band, and I was like the cool kid in the band. Like, I was never like, you know, be like, look at band geeks.
Yeah.
Like, even when I was in middle school, most of us wasn't considered band geeks. Like, we were just like, we were, some of us played hoop, some of us who played football. Like,
right.
They just played the trombone too. Like, it's just like, I play trombone, I play football. You got a problem, knock your ass out.
Right. Yeah.
Nobody ever said anything. It was never
get your
like
ass
on some
by Kenny G right now.
Exactly. Yeah. Go ahead. We're getting off on the side.
Yeah. So, I mean,
having fun though.
Yeah. So basically, they're fighting. Ryoko isn't, you know, using any of her transformations or anything like that, but she is getting like these. Nunun just takes to the sky eventually. Like her whole suit lifts off. It's a fucking airship.
It was a fucking Gundam.
Yeah. And Ryoko immediately is just like, "Hey, what the hell? Like, you're not supposed to leave the platform." She's like, "Oh, well, I can't fall off the platform, but if I leave voluntarily and like fly around, I'm in control." It's like that whole thing with like, you know, the Tournament of Powers. Like, you can't get knocked off.
Yeah.
But if you can just like, kind of figure out a way to float around or whatever, it's cool.
That's the shit. The same thing that Keenan said is like, is the rules are so stacked there against her. It's ridiculous.
Really,
like, if that was her and it's flipped, well, I mean, I guess it did eventually end up.
Yeah, it did.
But, like, I think that's just bullshit. Like,
it was bullshit.
Yeah.
And we do get another little flashback of when, because they say, she says that she's basically Satsuki's closest friend, that she's known her the longest.
Yeah.
And there's this little scene when they're back in, like, kindergarten or whenever, and she's, like, basically making, you know, manipulating all these boys, getting them to, like, build her a sandcastle. And she's like, yo, Satsuki, like, do you want to hang out with me in my sandcastle that I had all these boys build for me? She's like, no, like, I'm not interested in any of that petty bullshit. I'm not interested in something that, like, the wind can blow over.
Yeah.
That's my sandcastle, and, like, points to her, like, mom's, like, skyscraper, and it's just like, that's what I'm interested in. And you know, Nunun is kind of like, she's smart and she's just like, well, you know, eventually that's gonna fall too.
Yeah.
And that's when Satsuki's just like, yeah, but not if you have the skyscraper in your mind, which I feel is some bullshit. I think that is a weak turnaround.
I'm the opposite of Robin. Is when I that shit was so deep, I almost quoted that on Instagram. I almost made that into an Instagram post.
I was just like, you can't.
I
like,
mean, compared to all the other things that people joined her for.
Yeah,
that, I think that was just like, okay, get the fuck.
It was
trash
for her. Yeah. For her to sit there and say, this is why we're the closest friends, I was like, nah. I feel like this is a one-sided relationship. I feel like, this is your best friend, but she's just like, bitch, you're just here because you.
100%.
Yeah, and 100%. She wasn't even a band person back then. They didn't show it anyway. She was just a brat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a brat. That's all she was.
Yeah, pretty much.
But she's a manipulator, so I think that maybe on that side of it was pretty good. But
trash.
Garbage reason why you think you're the closest person to her.
Yeah, it's very clearly a one-sided relationship.
Yeah.
So she's back to the fight. She's basically launching all these missiles at Ryoko. She's having some trouble, but she's able to get Senketsu to evolve again into like this aerial form. And she gets like these fucking jet engines that come out of her boots. It's pretty sick.
I thought it was pretty corny.
Yeah.
You didn't like it?
I didn't like it. I thought it was a little, the way it looked. Not the thing, what was happening. Her flying was dope. But the way it looked a little cheesy.
With the bulk, how bulky it was at the bottom and stuff. I can see that. It looked like a 90s toy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, it did kind of look like a Transformer type thing.
Yeah.
But I thought it was kind of cool that she, like, you know, she got this aerial uniform or whatever. She got
that
this
part
aerial
of it's tight
form.
That she can fly. Yeah,
yeah. I like that Senketsu can change, basically adapt to the situation.
Right.
I thought that was cool,
and it kind of sets the foundation moving forward. As you guys will, as you will see, it's like he keeps, you know, evolving, and it makes it more believable. You know, because at some point the transformations really get a little bit outlandish, but they set that precedence already, so it's like, okay, like, we can believe that versus the episode come and then all of a sudden you morph into some bullshit.
All this shit. Yeah,
and it was like, where the fuck was this the last 18 to 20 episodes?
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah, and seeing this, the homeroom teacher who's been watching this the whole time is just like, oh, shit. Like, this is getting out of control.
This is what we feared, pretty much.
Yeah.
And evolving like this.
So he picks up the phone and he calls, I forget his name, Kinagase?
Yeah.
Is that the dude with the red mohawk?
Yeah.
He's just like,
Punisher.
Hey.
Dennis Rodman.
He calls up the Punisher and he's like, hey, man, the worst case scenario that we thought was going to happen is pretty much happening. We need you to come in right now. And he's like on his motorcycle, and he turns around and he sees in the distance basically all the smoke from this fucking fight, and he's just like, god damn it, like, let's do this. And so, like, he turns around and burns some rubber and he's head back to the school while this fight's still going on. Ryoko's like trying to like sneak up on her. She's flying around, like running up the side of the thing. She at one point tried to like crash the whole damn ship by you know, trying to stick her scissor blade into it and connecting it to some life fibers and dragging it down, but she couldn't manage to do that.
Yeah.
And she eventually does break the uniform and forces Nonon back down to the ground, and she's kind of, you know, taking advantage of her aerial superiority at this point. Mm. And she beats her. It seems like she's all done. Like, yeah, you know, the stage is fucking destroyed at this point, basically, because Nonon's been like, all right, fine, like, you... Well, that was actually what got her to fly in the first place. Yeah, she was like, all right, well, I'm just going to destroy the stage you're standing on. You'll fall, and that'll be it.
Yeah.
And she came back with the flying form, but... So Ryoko's basically, she beats her, but she doesn't absorb any life fibers.
Right.
And it's just like, what the hell's going on? And then it turns out there's another form to this girl's thing. She's basically got a second sort of form where she's just basically taking she has these speakers that she tunes to resonate at the same frequency as the life fibers in Senketsu.
Yeah.
And basically paralyzes Ryoko in her stance, like, she can't move at all.
This was made her the dopest out of them.
Yeah,
Jimmy.
For
like,
sure.
She's got like an answer for everything.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
she's the one that's been fucking collecting data, not computer dummy.
And that's just some shit that I think he got from her, because even earlier, like last run of episodes, she's like sending all her weak clubs at her, and he's just like, "Oh, what are you doing?" She's like, "I'm collecting data."
Yeah,
yeah.
It's like, I'm not waiting until I get in the ring with her. Like, I'm sending some other people up first.
Yeah,
you're supposed to be that's some like Mugen shit, where it's like you're supposed to be the street smart person. You're supposed to be the smart person, but you're not doing the shit that you're supposed to be doing.
No. So she's got Ryoko kind of on the rope. She's not able to move, and she's getting a little bit of some pep talks from Mako out in the crowd, but she's basically like, all right, like, Senketsu, you know, they kind of have this moment where she's like, all right, listen to my heartbeat or whatever, and, you know, try to, you know, basically turn this sound attack back around. And they're able to reflect the sound back at her, and the data guy's kind of like, oh, well, you know, basically she's got more life fibers in Senketsu than she does in her, you know, three-star Goku uniform, so Senketsu is more powerful, and she ends up getting blown away. That's where that's how the fight
she shot that big old sound at her and then she silenced it, and then she's like, okay, not only are we going to silence it, we're going to push it back at you. So then that's when she pushed her, Ryoko pushed her sound back at her, and then just blew her clothes off.
Yeah. And so, I mean, that episode was basically like it was kind of a two episode fight.
Yeah.
I mean, that one stretched a long time.
They gave her some love, because, I mean, she was a dopest. And then, thank goodness, they didn't over sexualize her, unlike they've done everybody else, all the other women on this so far. Yeah. Like, she's like the only one that they didn't go ham on, like, drawing her extra busty.
No.
Yeah.
Drawing her. Even when they blew her away naked, it wasn't like sexually naked, like how everybody else be.
It was just off in the distance. But during that time, they did sexualize Ryoku when she was getting her, when she was closing her eyes and getting the sound waves and stuff.
Yeah.
They had her naked because she was like in her own mind and talking to Setsuku.
Right.
And it was like, they had everything out there, but it didn't, you know, they didn't have nipples or anything like that, but they still say, like, damn, she can't even, you know,
nothing.
She have clothes on in her own mind? Like,
goddamn. Also, while this has been going on, like I said, this kind of stretched into two episodes. At the beginning of the second episode that this fight is going on, we get sort of a B or C story that's kind of going on in the background, where, you know, Mako's family's off in another part of town watching all these fights go down on another TV
collecting
somewhere.
That bread.
Yeah.
Yeah. And while that's going on, while the crowd is kind of watching, behind them, this girl, like, all dressed in pink, kind of shows up and is just like, oh, like, hey, like, looks like everybody's having a lot of fun watching this fight. We don't really know what that is or who she is or whatever, but they keep coming back to her, like, getting closer and closer to the school. And as this next fight's about to start between Daredevil, and
Brennan's guy.
I'm going to have to look up this dude's name. I've got this sheet right here, but I've just been calling him Daredevil this whole time.
Uzu.
As Uzu's, you know, he's getting ready to come down. He's just like, all right, I'm ready for this, you know, this rematch.
Yeah.
You know, because the last time they fought, he beat Ryoko.
Yeah.
You know, he had blinded himself and committed himself to this next level of...
He'd been a little arrogant, too, since then.
Yeah. He'd been walking around.
Right.
Yeah. Stick up his ass. Like,
he's big dick energy is.
Yeah.
They say on the web.
On the web.
Where they say those sort of things.
On insecure big dick energy.
So he's got his new uniform. He's just like, all right, well, this has been retooled basically to keep up with my new abilities, because he basically overpowered his last one.
Mm.
And right as they're about to start fighting, this girl in pink shows up and is just like, hey, like, I kind of want a shot at all this. And he gets all pissed off and is just like, you know, what are you doing in this fucking ring right now? This is my fight. And Satsuki's just like,
yo, she knows what's up. She knows this bitch is a beast.
Immediately is just like, Uzu, get the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
She's just like, you know, this is not your fight.
Yeah.
This girl is way above your pay grade.
Yeah.
Like, you got to get out of there.
Yeah.
And of course, he's arrogant, so he's just like, well, no, I'm going to take care of business. She's not wearing a Goku uniform. So he comes at her with an attack. She just blocks it with, like, her fucking umbrella.
She doesn't even turn around.
No.
Yeah.
And everybody's
she's behind
just,
him.
They're all just like, what is going on? Like, who is this girl?
And that's kind of what I was telling you, talking about last week when we was like, the Goku uniforms, who would you be? It's just like, that's the scariest people when they're just chill like that.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? Yeah. It's just like, go back to what we were talking about earlier, is being calm. She's just like, come on, man, chill out. Like, chill out, bro. Like, get out of here.
And that's when I was going to bring it up. But she, not even just that she's calm, she's laughing.
Yeah.
The whole time.
Yeah.
She is definitely like the epitome of just calm, like kind of scary calm, like Joker-esque sort of. Yeah,
like, you're funny. This is, you know.
Having a good time.
Yeah. What are you doing? Like,
yeah.
And then hits him with the pinky.
She gives him the pinky, just catches that life fiber right underneath the nail. She's got some weird kind of gross on the other side of her nail, which is a little bit fucking weird.
That was weird. It's like, what's that shit that you used to play when you was a kid and you can like mush them together and stuff?
Silly putty?
No, like, because they had those little grooves and stuff. I'll have to look it up.
I think I know what you're talking about.
That's what it reminded me of, and it made me cringe.
Yeah. But she uses that to basically pluck this life fiber, and it just, the whole thing snaps, and his uniform just falls to pieces.
Yeah.
It's fucking gone. And they say, like, oh, every one of these Goku uniforms has a life fiber that's like the central one.
The Banshee, I think.
Yeah, that binds it together.
Yeah.
And she was able to get through his armor, just find it in one stroke and like just pull it. Yeah. And Satsuki's, you know, uniform guy is watching all this on the feed and it's just like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You know, nobody can do this. And he's already like trying to figure out what he can do to fix up the other three uniforms that got beat already.
Mm.
So Uzu is done. Like, he just gets thrown out of there in 2 seconds.
Both of Brennan's guys.
Smoked.
Brennan's
he didn't even show up.
Brennan's guy that he wants to be like, trash. Brennan's guy that he says the best character in here, trash.
Damn. Double hefty bags.
Come on.
Double hefty bags?
Both of them.
Double hefty.
Gosh.
So... So Ryoko's just like, all right, well, I don't know who you are, but, you know, I guess if you want these problems, like, you can have that. And Satsuki's just like, all right, I know who this woman is. I'm just going to let this play out.
Yeah.
I'm just going to see what happens. And Ryoko's just like, all right, like, well, you want to fight? Let's fight. And comes at her with her scissor blade, and lo and behold, she blocks it with the other half of the scissor blade, which
real.
So this is the other person that had killed her dad.
Yep.
You know, had taken the other half of the scissor blade, and Ryoko immediately recognizes this. And if she didn't recognize it, she states it pretty plainly. Her opponent, I forget her name.
Pretty much she's like, I killed that nigga.
Snooey. She's just like, I did kill him.
And a happy-go-lucky story. Yeah, that was me. Yeah. Marked that nigga.
And then she said what made it even worse, she was like, if I knew you were coming, I would have stayed and killed you too.
Yeah.
You know how gangster that is?
It was pretty fucked up.
Gangster.
What?
If I knew you were coming. Oh, you would have got this work too.
I would have stayed and beat your ass too.
And that was after her dad had taken her eye out.
Yeah. Took her eye out. And that was the only time you kind of seen her lose her cool.
Yeah.
Was when she had her eye taken out.
Yeah.
But, you know, it kind of gives, I think it's when we go into like a little bit of the backstory of the scissors, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And how.
And then, they talk about he had the full scissor.
Yeah, he had the whole deal.
He was coming at her with it and stuff. And
even him, like, he wasn't bad either. Like, he was kind of a, her dad was kind of a dope too.
I was going to say, that dude could fight like an old hunched over, like, bearded dude.
Yeah. His lab coat kind of sealed itself back up after it would get sliced up, right? It was looking like a little thing.
Yeah.
And the only thing that's when she knew the scissors was the real deal, because when she cut his suit first, she was like, oh, these little scissors are the real fucking deal here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right then.
Yeah. And he manages to get him away from her for a second to slash her eye out. And she's just like, well, fuck that.
Yeah.
Like, you are done.
Yeah.
Runs
no more games after that.
Yeah. She took care of business and got out of there real quick.
Mm.
Just narrowly missing Ryoko.
Yeah.
And so Ryoko is just like,
lost her cool.
She loses it. Yeah. Like, as much as angry as she was before, that just sends her over the edge. And she's just like, even Senketsu is like, you need to calm down.
Yeah.
Like, and he's even telling her, like, kind of like before, before when he was telling her when they were about to go up against another big opponent, he's like, I don't feel good about this.
Yeah.
And Ryoko's just like, shut up, Senketsu. Like, you don't know what you're talking about. He's been right about this every single time.
Right. Well, I think she knew. I think she probably felt too, but she's like, I got to kill this motherfucker.
Yeah.
Like, there's no, I don't care what the circumstances are, like how, if I'm against the wall, I have to fight this person.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is her main mission.
Yeah.
The whole reason the show is for her to find the person that killed her father.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's laughing about it.
Yeah.
So get these hands.
Yeah.
Or try.
So she loses it, and Senket's like, they kind of explain a little bit later what happens, but basically he gets so incensed by all the blood that he's getting that he turns into like some sort of monster that just basically consumes her.
Yeah.
And she becomes this weird, like almost like Picasso-esque looking sort of weird monster. Her like
and
neck
the blood is boiling and stuff inside.
She's got blood shooting out of her everywhere.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Her teeth are sticking up out of her mouth.
Through her eye, I think, too. One is sticking through her eye. Through the suit of the eye.
And then he acts like he consumes her. It's like,
eats her up. It was weird. But she's going after Nui, and Nui, of course, is just laughing this whole time. And at this point, Satsuki's just like, all right, this has gotten too far.
Yeah.
I need to step in. Mm. We get a little bit of a side scene where we see Satsuki's mom basically stepping out of a tub, and we see that basically her assistant's kind of like, hey, your lead designer, was it the head coutier or something like that? She's coming down. She's down at your daughter's school, and she's like, well, I told her she could do whatever she wants, so that's not really a concern of mine. Mm-hmm. Let's basically get to that meeting.
Yeah.
So they get in the helicopter and leave, and we go back to the fight, and Satsuki decides that she's got to step in because this is going way too far.
Yeah.
And then this is also when the Punisher shows up, and he's just like doing his usual deal where there's two things you need to know.
Right.
Number one, you look like shit. Number two, this problem has gotten way out of hand. You know, like.
So he had his bullets too, because I saw.
Yeah.
In the meantime, throughout these past couple episodes, he's like loading up the little red bullets and stuff that can.
We only had one, I think.
Well, yeah.
There's one bullet, but then because his other bullets ain't been doing shit.
Yeah,
no, those.
And he was like, "This is the bullet." Yeah,
yeah.
So he gives that to the homeroom teachers, just like, "I'm gonna go down there and try to figure something out." But you know, I'm gonna give you this bullet. This should take care of Senketsu. If you need it, it's here for you. And he hands it to the homeroom teacher and the sniper rifle. And so he goes down there, and he actually like contends with Nui a little bit. Like he's kind of like shooting some shots at her. She comes after him, and he lays a bunch of traps. And at one point, like
she
turns around and is just like, "He got me."
Yeah,
you know, like it doesn't kill her, damage her, but she's just like, "But he trapped the shit out of me. Like I fell right into it, and it blows it up." But she doesn't really seem hurt by any of it. But meanwhile, this whole fight's going on with Satsuki and Ryoko, and Satsuki looks like. She's about to handle it because as powerful as Ryoko is in this form, she's just sort of berserk and she's just out of control. And Satsuki, you know, she's just too practiced. She's too calm for that.
Mm.
And so she's able to kind of turn it around, and she's about to finish her off when Mako steps in and is just, you know, tries to talk some sense into her, into Ryoko.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you know, remember when I lost my shit?
Yeah.
You know, you need to calm down. Like her family, Mako's family shows up. Like they're there to try to save her because they recognize she's losing a lot of blood.
Mm.
And even the dad's like, I'm a shitty doctor, but you know, I guess I'll help with this transfusion.
Yeah.
And they're all trying to like calm her down. And eventually it kind of works. Like,
yeah.
Well, Mako slaps the shit out of her like 90 times.
That was pretty funny, actually.
That was hilarious.
That was like, was that movie Andy Samberg, Hot Rod, when he's just like falling down the hill for like a ridiculous amount of time? She did slap the shit out of her, I think, seriously, like for 30 seconds.
That and it was mad funny. And then when she comes to, she's still slapping the shit out of her. And she's like, okay, all right, fam.
Bow, bow.
Chill.
Bow.
You got it.
Yeah.
You did it.
I'm fine.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
I always think that's funny in movies when, like, somebody slaps somebody and then they slap them back. Like, that shit is hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, I will forever laugh at that.
Yeah, so that was good. And at that point, Satsuki's kind of like, all right, Ryoko's obviously got some problems. Like, she's not really an issue at this point. I got other shit I got to worry about. Like, this is done. This is over. And Ryoko gets taken home by Mako and her family. To heal up and you know, basically deal with whatever the fuck demon she just revealed to everybody.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Satsuki's just like, all right, well, clearly I got some thinking to do on my part. I got my mom and her people all up
in
my
shit. She
told
old girl, she was like, yo, you fuck around again, I'm taking you out.
Yeah, she bans her from the school, right?
Don't come back over here or I'm going to handle you.
Yeah. Right.
And the girl knows, well, she's kind of like laughing about it, but she's kind of like, oh, like, I don't really want these problems, but, you know, I'll find my own way.
Yeah.
Type thing.
And at that point, too, you can see, like, she still like she can handle her own against against Nui. Like if it yeah. came oh, down yeah, to
she
it,
she definitely can.
Yeah. 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 So we get to the next episode, and at this point, Satsuki's announced that she's basically launching this giant raid against all these other yeah. fucking schools across yeah, the yeah. across the region, and she's giving all of her different generals. So the Elite Four have been reinstated,
right? Of
you know,
course,
they're redoing their Goku uniforms, the three stars. They're getting a whole new getup, but you know they're still in the lab a little bit. They're still doing some testing on them. So right now they have just kind of the run of the mill regular one star. So there's some new one star Goku uniforms, which are all like multicolored or whatever. So
yeah.
they got it. They basically got their copy of those, and they can wear those in the meantime. Mm. But this episode is basically just a prep episode for them. Yeah. You know, they're basically just taking their time, looking at their battle plans, getting ready to go. Mako is kind of watching all this going around. It's just like, man, you know, I wish I get to go around. I mean, I don't want to be a part of the war, but it'd be nice to travel or whatever.
Right.
And Ryoko, in the meantime, she's out of it. She's not coming to school. She's not yeah. putting on senkets.
Yeah.
She's just sort of like, what?
Drowning in her sorrows.
Yeah, you know, what happened to me? What am I? Who am I? I let this situation get the better of me.
Yeah.
So while Mako's at school, she does get contacted by this dude who says he used to be part of the newspaper club, but he got banned because he, in his pursuit of the truth, was uncovering too much, and they didn't like him, you know, trying to sow this rebellious seed in the school, so they kicked him out and banned him or whatever. He's just like, but I know Ryoko. She's what we need. Like, she's the one, so we got to get her back. And you know, Mako, of course, is just like, yeah, let's do this. So she invites him over and tries to get, and he gives her a pep talk, and Ryoko's like, I'm not trying to hear all that.
Right.
Like, forget that. Like, I'm done, like, for now, as far as I can tell. I don't know if I'll ever wear him again. He's like, well, you got to figure it out because we need you. So they run into each other a few times, actually, Mako and this newspaper guy, and eventually he's getting taken off by a bunch of the disciplinary group. And I forget how Ryoko, how does she end up like kind of picking herself back up? Because she I don't think it was his speech that really motivated her, but she eventually just like, you know what? I do have to figure this out.
Because I think when they're pulling him away, he just starts going in and lashing out because they're in her yard.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, because he runs there, and he's just like, you know, basically, protect me, help me.
Right.
And she watches this happen, and she does realize, okay, somebody has to do something, and that somebody is me.
Yeah.
I'm just going to have to learn to be better. And so she puts on senkets and goes to find this guy, finds him backed in a corner, and he's getting the shit kicked out of him by these disciplinary guys, these one-star thugs. And Ryoko's kind of like, hey, put him down. And she slashes him up, and it turns out they're just a bunch of fucking puppets.
Yeah.
And the guy kind of stands up and gets that sinister look on his face, kind of like that trap girl before.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
Turns out it's just, it's Nui in disguise.
Yeah.
Goddamn. And she reveals herself and is just like, you know, they said I couldn't come to the school, so I had to figure out another way to get to you.
Coming to your house.
So I'm coming to your house. Now she knows I've been in your room. I've been where you sleep. That's got to be some sort of violation. But
that's next level smoke.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That is some villainy for sure.
Yeah.
And Ryoko's just like, all right, I know I can't go full blown because I'll lose it.
Yeah.
Again. And Nui's just like, all right, cool. And lights her the fuck up.
Yeah.
Car senkets literally into pieces.
Yep.
And just, the scissor blade just works senkets. And senkets has turned into a bunch of like cloth squares.
Mm-hmm.
And she's about to finish her off. She's holding the blade right above her when Satsuki shows up and is just like, all right, like, you got around it. You found the loophole.
Right.
All right. So I recognize that. But, you know, fuck off and stay out of my affairs. You know, I don't want you fucking around with any of this stuff.
Yeah.
I want Ryoko is mine, basically. And I don't want to see you around again. If I even see you anymore, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
And so she does say that, Satsuki does say that, you know, well, I do have a plan for these pieces of senkets. I'm going to divide them up amongst, you know, my generals and my students and give them a boost to their Goku uniforms and leaves Ryoko there on the street.
So like he saved them, but not really, all the way saved.
You're right.
Right.
She basically saves her from death.
Right.
But that's it.
Just so I can, like, when people are like, I want to have them, like, you can't have
them. They're mine.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And so as they're getting ready to roll out, Mako gets gets wrapped up and into the whole thing, and they're just like, "All right, you're part of this now too. You're going to Osaka or wherever the fuck it ends up." Yeah. She ends up going.
And she's just walking, and then they're just like,
they hand her a helmet.
Yeah, they hand her a helmet. She thinks she's like doing fashion or something like that. I forgot what it was, but it was something involving clothes. And it was just like, "Oh, yep, come on, you're going with us." And he's just like, "All right."
Yep. Mm. And so they're all getting ready to roll out, and they all hop in the vans and they go. And that's when the homeroom teacher just says, "I guess it's time to reveal my true identity." And he just starts stripping right there. He's like, "I'm not the homeroom teacher.
Nudist beach.
I'm with Nudist beach." He's got his nipples are all aglow. I swear to God, that's literally what happened. If you didn't watch it, his nipples are glowing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's telling all this to Mako's little brother, who's standing there just like,
"Bruh.
What? Okay. All right. Yeah. Like, you get sure.
You're sitting there stripping in front of me, not feeling this, man."
Right.
Not feeling this.
Age gap. Come on.
So the homeroom teacher's, he's just like, "All right, well, I've got things I got to do, because now I see that Satsuki's on the move. Nudist Beach, this is their time to strike." Mm. So let's move out. So he heads back to his home base. Ryoko, shit, I forget at that point. How does she get saved?
Well, I thought Nudist Beach had saved her again.
Yeah, because she's
like in her, like, you know, in her panties.
And that's
she's like,
right.
She's like, "Yo, you keep doing this."
That's right. He scoops her up and he gives her that whole thing like, "Oh, weird how you keep ending up on my couch."
Right.
Like,
mostly
naked.
Yeah.
But this time, aren't they in her, like, in the Nudist Beach headquarters?
Not yet, because that doesn't come until later.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think they're still in his apartment.
They're in his apartment.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And so he hasn't technically... So he saves her first, and that's when I think after he kind of tells her, well, you know, Senketsu isn't gone entirely. And she finds out that she did manage to hold on to his eye.
Yeah.
And so she's still able to communicate with Senketsu, and he's like, "I can feel the other pieces of me. He's still out there. If you can go out there and gather the pieces, you know, maybe we can get this... We can get it back together."
Yeah.
And then the Senketsu can reform.
Yeah.
And so after that, that's when he's, you know, reveals himself to the public, I guess, as a Nudist Beach agent and is ready to go. So he ends up, this whole raid, it's kind of a filler, but each of the Elite Four, well, minus the tech guy who's ends up being the guy in the chair for this one. Mm. He's not out on the front lines.
Of course.
He's trash.
Because he's trash.
He lost his privileges. He lost your fight privileges, bro.
They all go off to separate junior highs, separate high schools. Irigorigami is at this kind of jock school where they allied with the Americans and got their football corps.
Yeah.
He's fighting them with their rule books.
This shit pissed me off so much. You finally get to see some black characters.
Yeah.
And they were garbage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then when they got their helmets knocked off, they didn't even have black people hair.
No.
They had blonde hair, huh?
They had this weird styled hair. Yeah. It was just like, oh. Did us wrong. Anime be doing us wrong, dog.
Absolutely, yeah.
Honestly, I would always say this, and I think there's actually a meme going around now. Like, one of the only animes that get black people right is Naruto. Like, they hold black people to a high regard, and that's why it's one of the greatest ever.
There you go. Yeah, because it definitely in a lot of other shows.
Yeah,
not
like
so
Dragon
much.
Ball Z. Yeah. Jesus
Dragon
Christ.
Ball Z is disrespectful as shit.
Oh my God.
It's so bad. It's so bad. Irigamagori, he's doing that whole thing with the jock school. Then actually, what was going on with her, it kind of reminded me of the shit I was saying would be for my Goku uniform. Because she's in some like weird castle. They're doing some magic shit, casting these like spirit guardians.
Yeah.
And she gets some help from the tech guy there. He's kind of like, "All right, I can, you know, get past this initial barrier of, you know, spirit guardians or whatever the fuck bullshit this is."
Right.
She's like, "None of this is real. Mm. Like, this is just a trick. You know, it's just a bunch of smoke and wind." And he shuts them down, and then from there, Nonon's able to take her troops and just go to town.
Yeah.
And Uzu, on the other hand, he's like wrapped up in this other high school where they're all about money. I mean, they see this guy, he's got a grill with like Zennies written out on the grill. They literally have guns that shoot dollar bills out of him.
I love this scene with Mako where she's just like, "I need this bread."
Yeah.
She goes, "Shoot me."
She just catches all of it.
Yeah, all of them.
Yeah, because she's on the front lines. Basically, she's just like, "Fuck, I finally got to travel, and I want to eat all this food, but, you know, I'm just stuck in this line." But, she sees the dude, like, basically shooting it out of, like, an Uzi or something like that, a bunch of dollar bills, catches up all the money, and just goes on a spending spree.
Yeah. Just she goes, like, food. Block to block to block. Yeah. Just was like, "What's the best that you have?"
So while all this is going on, Ryoko's kind of getting herself together. She's got like the sort of Akira bike look going on where she's got the motorcycle. Yeah, she's got, you know, Senketsu, the eye wrapped around her neck as a bandana. It was a good look, I thought.
Yeah. It's a dope-ass look.
Yeah. And so she's riding around from place to place. She stops off at each of the different battles and just sort of lays some tracks on them, like literally, and steals the pieces of Senketsu off of the major one-star uniform students that are in the fights. And she does it with Ira's troops and also with Nonon's troops, and then finally gets to where Uzu is and gets those troops, but there's still one piece missing. And that's the glove that activates the transformation. And while this fight's going on, actually Uzu's fight is the one that ends up blowing up into a big thing. This dude with all the money, he's basically corrupted the whole fucking city
to make him think, and that money wasn't even worth anything.
It's like fucking Disney dollars. You know, it's literally got his face like printed on it.
Monopoly,
you know?
Money.
it's garbage. And but he's like, I've basically rigged this system so that I can pay anybody I want, and I'll blow up this whole city. We'll just rebuild it because I got all the money, and these people will do it. They will fight for me. They will die for me. And then Satsuki decides she has to step in because this is getting out of hand.
Yeah,
and just says, "No, what you think that money is power, but fear is power. Because all of these people, what really rules them is fear." And she just starts cutting them up, and they all run. Once it starts like coming down to
because they realize because those guys aren't even fighters.
No,
the people that they have are just like regular folk of that town.
Just regular civilians.
Yeah.
So yeah, Satsuki sets him straight, and he's all, very quickly all on his own. But before they can get into blows, Ryoko is just like, "All right, well, I know I need that last piece left. I can't go up against her just untransformed. I have to do something." And so she decides that she's going to transform without the glove, which she had done originally.
Yeah, right. She did.
But Senketsu does tell her, like, it could kill you. Like,
wait,
you know,
remember she did it because her blood had spilled on him.
That's right.
That's why sort of blood. So it wasn't like she was able to do it. But now the glove creates the cut or the blood. Or whatever.
It does it the right way.
Yeah.
And he's just like, well, you can do it without the glove, but you won't be able to maintain it for very long because eventually it will kill you. You know, from fatal blood loss. She's like, well, all I need is a little window.
Yeah.
And so she takes advantage of it. She transforms, charges Satsuki, and grabs the glove right off of her, and Senketsu is reformed. Meanwhile, the rest of the Elite Four, they get their upgraded 3-star Goku uniforms, which I thought they all looked pretty dope.
Even
because I wasn't a fan of his original suit, but he looks doper because they slimmed him down.
He looks like Genji out of Overwatch.
Sure does.
So they all get their new uniforms to fight this money dude who's like, well, I got an anti-Goku uniform, and it's just robot crab. It was the dumbest fucking thing.
It's like gold robot crab.
We give you some dope ass suits, but we counteract that with a terrible, terrible ass fucking golden crab.
It's so dumb. Meanwhile, Nuda's Beach is also activating. The homeroom teachers got back to his base. Is just like, all right, guys, this is the moment we've been waiting for. Let's roll out. And they got all their troops like basically jumping out. They're jumping on. They got their own mech uniforms. They got a bunch of naked people jumping into these.
Trash too, dog.
Those shits are trash.
They look so lame,
yo. Yeah. And then
super lame.
And then, because they inside of it, like, they don't even have no functionality. It's like they're in it
horizontally, right?
Yeah, they're just stuck in there like a hot dog in a bun or some shit.
You're not even, come on.
It's no, those are trashy. Those are trash uniforms. No, they're not good. So they're getting worked by Satsuki's troops and the Elite Four. I mean, we'll touch on the crab fight very briefly just because there was a moment where Uzu puts his kendo sword up that dude's ass to the hilt.
Yeah. Oh my god!
That guy's got like his G spot's pretty deep or something that.
Yeah, goddamn.
Oh no!
Because he gets the hearts all around him. He's just like, ooh.
Oh, man, Rob has been on fire. These past few podcasts. Jesus.
Yo, he is like the walking version of the internet right now. Like, I got fucking undefeated.
I got the references. So he likes it for a second, but it hurts so good because he's rolling around on the ground like, I don't really. At that point, Satsuki's just like, all right, you know, time to reveal my real plan. This whole thing was just to get Nudist Beach to reveal themselves.
Right.
I didn't really give a shit about any of these schools now that this is the real fight that's happening. Mm. And so the Elite Four all kind of break off on their different fights. I remember the funniest matchup was Iragamagori, the hugest dude, ends up against Mako, who's got like fucking nothing, just like a brick and a stick or some shit, like to try to fight him off with. But of course, the premier matchup is Satsuki and Ryoko,
right?
And they're really going at it. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy that like, and even Satsuki's like, you got stronger.
Yeah.
Like, I can tell. Like, I gave you this chance to level up, and you took advantage of that. Mm. There's a few times where, you know, Ryoko's trying out all her different, like, new uniform evolutions, like, really kind of coming into her own. And it's coming down to it, and they really get to a point where it's a draw, you know? Like, they both have their blades at each other's necks. And Ryoko's just like, listen, we can finish this right now. Or we can walk away and finish this later, because obviously there's a lot of other shit going on right now. Mm. And Satsuki at first is just like, I'm not scared. Like, we can finish this off. I'll die right here, right now with you.
Yeah. Right.
But, you know, some of her people kind of talk her down and are just like, listen, we came all this way. We finally have what we wanted. Nudist Beach is, like, fucking running away.
Yeah.
We have them defeated. We have conquered the region. This is what we wanted. Don't throw it all away right now.
Right.
And she's just like, all right, cool.
You're right.
Let's redo this another time.
Yeah.
We'll meet up at McDonald's at 3 p.m.
Call back.
Yo.
So they so they split off, and Nudist Beach, and their parting gift is Nonon, just like, because she's just like, all right, cool, we'll walk away. Nonon, are you in position? She's like, yeah, I'm in position. And she just basically blows up the entirety of the Nudist Beach HQ with her new Goku uniform and just destroys the whole fucking place and leaves it all in the fucking dust. And she takes her people and she's like, mission accomplished.
Yeah.
Let's go home. And all the good guys are kind of left standing in the dust, and the homeroom teacher's finally like, all right, this is the time you proved yourself. I'll finally tell you what everything that's been going on.
Yeah.
And the next episode, it was kind of funny because I think you had told us about this, Ice. Like, they start off with like, all right, well, you know, this is the usual recap episode that every show's got to do. And they just basically run through it in like two, three minutes. They're like, we got through the entire recap. Right. Get right to the episode.
Yeah. Fuck you other shows. What have you guys been doing?
Yes. They did it right.
They really did. Yeah. They got through it real fast. Yeah. I could learn a thing or two from their synopsis. So this episode really was just very much an information-based sort of episode. Satsuki meets up with her mom, and we can talk about this for a minute.
God.
Let's split this episode off into two sections. Woo. And we'll start with the I'm not sure if we should start with this one or the other one. Oh, because there's basically the two Satsuki gets some information, and Ryoko gets some information. Satsuki, her mom is like, just basically exhausted from this fight. It's taken everything out of her using her Kamui as much as she did.
Yeah.
And it's exhausted her. And her mom's just, you know, says, you did well, you know, obviously you fight really well with your Kamui. Things start getting weird very quickly as she's just like
very
feeling
fast.
Her up in her uniform.
Yo.
And it's just, hey, why don't you meet me down in the bath? And so they go into this weird, elaborate bathroom with just a giant pool, and her mom's in there, and she tells her to strip down, and they're both naked in the pool. Their mom starts bathing her, which is like, we all talked about this before we started to record, and you brought up a good point where I feel like there was a way they could have done this that wouldn't have necessarily been weird,
right?
But they took that option, crumbled it up, said fuck that, we're gonna go just go for broke 10 out of 10 incesty weird shit
right now.
Washed her off. This is
like,
and they choose that option every single time. Like non getting beat, that was the only time they decided to take the high road. Everything else has been straight smug. Like, throw that shit away, we're going full cooch and tits. Shit is just gonna be disgusting. It's
one, there's no washcloth. I'm like, come on.
Yeah.
You just use washcloths, man.
You gotta have something.
But then when she's rubbed, like, they didn't have to show her rubbing on the titty. Like, hand was on the titty for a good second.
A long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, yo, and then you see her, and what I think with their, I was talking to Rob about this earlier, I think what they were trying to do was just like she's trying to awaken her body so she can be she can fully embrace the suit.
Yeah.
To give it full power. But when they put the like hand in between the legs, you see,
that's
you
not
seen her
kind
of like you seen her, the way her face looked and her head moved up, like she's kind of like and then all of a sudden, then her chakras opened up. Clear, that's what she was just like.
Yeah, they got like the whole Buddhist thing where you can show her.
Her chakras, like everything opened up and stuff like that. But that could have been just done with on some like she could have just been talking to her like. It could have been on some, like, even feel yourself.
Right.
Sure.
Or some, like, I just...
You know what I mean?
Push a point in your back, and then it's like...
Yeah.
Opens or guiding
her. She's
up.
Just washing her hair or something like that.
Yeah.
Right.
It didn't need to be... The only things she washed were literally her two sex organs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. Not even her ass. Stomach, wash ass.
Ass dirty. Ass stomach.
Yeah. Ass
dirty
still
as shit.
Stanking.
Belly button stank like a motherfucker.
Yeah.
That's not important to awakening your chakra.
Didn't wash the underarms after that fight. She's musty.
Musty bitch.
She's musty as hell.
But no,
it was mad. It wasn't needed. It was very unnecessary.
Very over the top.
Yeah.
And that's why I was saying, you know, coming into this episode, I keep flip-flopping with the show where I'm just, you know, I think, wow, this is really cool. They are doing some interesting things. And I do think that there is a message and a point behind it. Mm. And then other times where I'm just like, they just wanted to draw some tits and ass.
That's it.
Yeah. Because for me, what I loved about the show, what I said I loved about it was that the way they did the action, the story was kind of like on some it came out before One Punch Man, but it was like on some like fighting and enough story to keep you along to where you're just like, there's no story.
Right.
But all this other shit in here was unnecessary. Like, I'll say this, my favorite suit out of this whole thing is Ryoko's suit with her down. When Sesuke was not like powered up, just her like when she
just
has like her
the sailor suit.
Cause I love her kicks. Like she had some white shoes on.
Yeah, those are
like,
cool.
I like that suit and with the bandana. Those are my two favorite suits out of it. It's nothing sexual about either one of those.
Right.
And it's just like they didn't even have. They would have kept her in that regular suit. I'd be like, this is fire.
Yeah.
But
it's too much. It's a lot. It's a lot.
Go ahead.
So, is that the one with the bandana? Is that her when she has the cape too?
I don't think she has a cape. She's got like the yellow sunglasses.
Oh,
on.
That one. Yeah, oh no. Yeah. There's another one that she has coming up that's like, pretty hard.
Yeah, she's got like the Hunter S. Thompson sunglasses on in that one.
Yeah, you know.
So that's part of it. So she unlocks her chakras and then she kind of takes her into a back room and shows her this is the original life fiber.
Yeah,
and it's this thing that looks like almost like a star or a sun or something like that. And she explains to her that life fibers came from this extraterrestrial being, that it creates them, and that it through its clothing helped humanity become what it is. And we get a little bit more of that later, and that her family, the Satsuki's whole family, their whole job is to be the steward of this extraterrestrial being and help them integrate with humanity.
Yeah.
So on the flip side of that, back at Nudist Beach, the homeroom teacher has said to Ryoko, all right, yeah, I'm going to give you all the information. Your dad used to work for Satsuki's. He used to work for the Revic company developing their life fiber clothing. Mm. But he found out that they were helping an alien life form to basically enslave the human race and turn them into food.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right, well, I got to do something else. I got to do something to stop this. So that's when he created Nudist Beach.
Right.
Yeah, this is probably why Kanye started flipping out. Because maybe this is some real shit.
Maybe
the clothes are really on some, like, and you see people act with clothes. I'm not a big clothes guy. Like, I mean, this might be some type of, like, metaphor for something.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, the way Kanye was about fashion, people are about fashion. Their clothes are more than the person to a lot of people.
Yeah.
Instead of the people, like, the clothes are more important than the people. And it's like, maybe this is kind of on some, like, a correlation to that. That's the only thing I can think of. When I got to this part, I was just like, okay, this is where he might have been on some dope shit, the creator. Mm. Besides all this other shit that
he gave the titties a break.
Yeah. But I was like that might be some clever type of stuff that he threw in there. It's kind of like, okay, this is on some real. You know,
I feel like it's both, and then I think he's kind of trying to play both sides. It's like, okay, I want to make a message, but I don't want to become a preacher, so let me throw some titties in there.
Yeah.
But then I don't want to, you know, everything's over-sexualized. He's like, but I don't want to think everybody think I'm just the biggest pervert, so let me still bring a knowledge in there. So it's like he teeter-tots.
He really does.
He teeter-tot? Because God damn it, it was a lot of titties.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was teeter-tot. It was a lot of tot.
a lot of tot and a little less teeting.
Little sprinkle of tot.
Yeah.
Little sprinkle. So he tells her that information, but he also backs up what Satsuki's mom had told her and says it wasn't that humans are the only ones to wear clothing. It's that clothing chose to wear us. Mm. That these beings came down from space and found Homo sapiens, Homo sapiens, if you watch the dub, which drove me out of my fucking mind. But these clothing aliens came down and picked us because we did have the largest brain on the planet at the time, and it chose us and integrated themselves in on top of us, because if they figured out they went inside, it would be too much and kill the human being.
Yeah.
But that they would be worn by humans and then force the brain of the human to grow and evolve into what we now know as humanity.
Yeah.
And since then the alien species went dormant and we were allowed to evolve. Like, we had all of our culture, and they talk about the fact that, you know, we had all these other clothings kind of come and go, and all these fashions and styles. All the
different styles, which was pretty tight. Yeah.
It was cool. Yeah. And then they said that something recently reawoke them, and it's got to be Satsuki's family.
Yeah.
You know, they rediscovered this, you know, primordial sort of life fiber and reawoke it, and now it's back. Mm-hmm. And that's what Nudist Beach's whole thing is, to destroy these life fibers. Mm-hmm. And you'd think that Ryoko would be on board with this, but she and Senketsu do have a relationship, and both of them kind of have a moment throughout the telling of this where Senketsu starts freaking out at first, saying, like, because he was created by the doctor, and he doesn't even necessarily understand who or what he is.
Right.
And he starts freaking out, thinking that he's turning Ryoko into food, and he doesn't want to eat her or hurt her really in any way. And she, on the other side of that, doesn't want to force him to kill his own kind.
Yeah.
It's just, if you just want to use Senketsu as a weapon, I'm not interested in participating. He's more than that. Like, he's got a mind, he's got a consciousness, he's a real thing, and we can't just turn him into a living weapon.
Right.
And that's where the episode ends, is her saying, you can count me out.
Yeah they had a nice little heart to heart.
Yeah.
And it's a real real progression from when they were, you know, their first relationship, when they met each other in the first couple episodes, and then until now.
Right.
That's a cool, you know, progression.
Yeah. And I feel like everything up, because we're pretty much done, but everything up to about this far has been, besides, like, everything was going well, besides over sexuality stuff, we was getting there. I was like, ah. But then the mother stuff kind of like, ah. But besides all that, I think so far, to me, I think it's been dope. The show so far.
Yeah.
1 through 18.
Yeah.
And we'll see how it closes out, I think, next week. But yeah, man, I think what do you guys think so far?
I flip flop a little bit on what their intentions are with this show. I mean, which, you know, whatever. It's definitely got its moments where it's a lot of fun.
Right.
You know, the fights are dope. And every once in a while, I kind of, you know, even during the fights, I have to stop and roll my eyes a little bit, just because it's so clearly, you know, oh, let's just throw in this pervy moment where she's hanging from her straps and her boobs are exposed.
Yeah, right.
You know, where it just feels cheap, you know, like this was just the lowest common denominator. They knew they could do this and it would just get a reaction out of people. But I still think there's a lot to like about this show, because I think there are moments that come through where they do ask some interesting questions, and they do have some really good story points. And it does seem that there is something that they're trying to say about clothing and culture, and they have their episodes where it's like, you know, this is some poignant shit. I like it. I don't know if it's one of my favorites, but I do like it. Interested to see how it finishes.
I like it. I've you know, in going back, and this one of the only animes, I think, in its length has to do with it too, that I like, enjoy going back and watching. And before too, like, I just watched it like a couple months ago, maybe 2 months ago at the latest. So it's just cool to just refresh on it and then see certain spots and be like, okay, yeah, this is pretty dope. The over sexualized part is
not needed.
Yeah, needed. It's super not needed. Yeah. And then even as like the, and that's something we talked about too, is like, at the very least, if you're going to over-sexualize like this, bring them up to college ages, so it's like, okay, everybody's legal. Then it's like, at this point, we're just watching softcore. But you got everybody at 17 and 16 and 13, 14, got dads creeping on a naked teenager in a shower. Like, that's like, okay, that kind of, like, it's like you get so immersed in it, and then you, that shit happens, and then it brings you right back out, like, all right, this is some bullshit, you know? So, but I do like it. It's, it's one of probably top 10 for sure for me.
Yeah, it's in my top for sure. And I think it would be even higher if it took some of that stuff out.
Yeah,
because it'd be good without it.
It's good without it. Because I don't think any of that stuff enhances it to me. It doesn't enhance the anime. But yeah, overall right now, I still think it's super dope. That's pretty much it, man. Rob, you want to give all your information?
RVDanger 44 on Twitter, RVDanger on Instagram.
Nice.
The eye exam, THEIYEXAM.
And I am Keenan Baker, KEENAN. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, all that stuff like that. Also, like I said, follow the animation page on Facebook, and we got an Instagram page, man. We're putting up little clips here and there. So follow us, man. We thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of Animation. We out.
And so anime was solved forever.